Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Let's all stand as we open up the Word of God. Did you bring your Bibles? Yes. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 3, and we're going to read together verses 16 through 18, and then we can be seated. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you all praise, glory, and honor. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, For God So Loved the World. For God So Loved the World. As I reflected and as I went back this week and I was hearing and watching many of Billy Graham's messages, his theme was For God So Loved the World. And so I asked and went before the Lord, and God gave me an outline to start on and to pray, and then I just started putting this message together. So are we there at John 3:16? Let's all read together. Verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Saints, before the foundation of the world, God had you and I in mind to send his Son Jesus to be crucified to a horrible death by crucifixion on an old rugged cross. And this is why there's songs of the old rugged cross. There's songs about the blood. There's songs about redemption through the cross. And to understand his grace of salvation, saints, we need to understand the biblical truths that are outlined in God's word. Can I get an amen? So we're going to look at five principles this morning to proclaim who Jesus is, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he is our Lord and our Savior, that he's the one that drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He is the one that saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. Can I get amen? So let's look at these principles. The divine providence of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the will of God. And we need to understand God's faithfulness toward us. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, let's look at our first one, the divine providence of God. Saints, divine providence is the governance of God by which he, with wisdom and love, cares for all and directs all in this entire universe. He spoke everything into existence. So we have to come to a conclusion that he's the one that's in charge. Can I get an amen? We're not in charge, he is. The doctrine of divine providence asserts that God is in complete control of all things. He is sovereign over all the entire universe. And so, we always have word to back this up. Can I get an amen? So let's go to our first verse of scripture right here, Psalms 103:19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Over all. He's the one that raises up kings and he sets them down. He's the one that raises up nations and then he sets them down. And so if you did a historical research on the kingdoms and nations, he rose them up. He's the one that gathered them together. But there's one common denominator for all the nations through the past. All the nations that were established after Adam and Eve came into this world. And because we know of the fall of man, all the nations that rose up, none of them would last but only for a certain 100 or maybe 1,000 years. But what was the demise? The demise was, if you did a research on it, is they collapsed because of immorality. They collapsed from within. And when they collapsed from within, God, if you read the Old Testament, God would then have to bring other nations to come in and to destroy them because of their disobedience. We see that in Scripture. But God is sovereign over even the physical world. Let's look at this right up here. Matthew 5:45 says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. This is how good God is. You may have a neighbor right next to you who is not a believer, and yet he waters his lawn, you water your lawn, and then when it rains, God rains on both lawns. Can I get amen? Because God is good. God is good to the unbeliever. He's gracious. He's wonderful. He created us so that we can exist on this planet that he created. So he's sovereign in all that he does. Thank you, God. But he's also sovereign over all the nations. Now, we're defining the providence of God right now. Let's go to the next scripture right here. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. So he rules over all the nations, and he's the one that determines when time is up. This is why we need to be praying for our nation. Can I get amen? Amen. We need to know what clock he's on. And the Bible says that we would know his soon return because we would see the signs that's laid out in Matthew, that's laid out in Daniel, that's laid out in Revelation. So the signs are here. And what we just heard prophetically by the daughter of Billy Graham lets us know that Jesus is about to return. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so he's sovereign over and rules over and has power over all the nations. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed to know he's in control and you are not? We would have been destroyed long ago. Thank you, God. And guess what? He's also sovereign over the human destiny. Oh, yes, he is. Look at this right up here. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, who called me through his what? Grace. His grace. This is Paul saying that, you know what? He had a say in separating him from his mother's womb. Come on. He didn't choose this. Matter of fact, we know that Paul was, he was a persecutor of the church. Can I get amen? And then God had to knock him off his horse. And how many of us were riding on a horse? Man, doing our own thing. Come on. Living the life like, man, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. And then God had to come and knock us off our beast. And then he said, come now and follow me. So look what he did. It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. It is God's grace that he has called us. We can't boast that, oh man, look what I did. Oh, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord that day. You know, no, he called you. He quickened you. He opened your eyes and you saw the cross and you came running to him. Thank you, God, because a dead man cannot see him. A dead man cannot see him. Thank you, God. And God is also sovereign, guess what? Even over our failures. He's still in control of our failures. Even though we miss the mark, even though we fumble the ball, even though we trip, look at the scripture right up here. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. Did you catch that? Huh? All these people that are living large right now, who have no mind for God, eventually they are put down. And guess who he exalts? The lowly in mind. That's when he found us. Because none of us have Donald Trump money, do we? Do we have that kind of wealth like Bill Gates? You know, living large, living mighty? Do we have prominence of these senators in Washington that I believe many of them are corrupt? He sets them down, but he exalts the lowly. So the failures of these mighty people, he puts them down. He's in control. God's in total control. You got to believe that God's in control. He's in control of your life. And guess what? He wants the best for your life. Can I get an amen? He wants the best for us. Oh, yes, he does. Are we going to go through things in life? Absolutely. But what I love on the divine providence of God is that his sovereignty over our protection as a child of God. Look at this in the Word. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Huh? This is not for the unbeliever. This is for the child of God. That even though we go through, even though we have physical ailments, we have mental instability, but if you are truly a child of God, he will protect you in all of his ways. Can I get amen? Amen. Yeah, I know a lot of us have HMO and PPOs, and we all go, and yeah, there's nothing wrong with doctors. But ultimately, he's the healer. Hallelujah. He will be high and exalted. Can I get amen? Amen. So he's sovereign. In the divine providence, he's sovereign. Even in the physical aspect. Thank you, God. And the protection of his people. Saints, this doctrine stands in direct opposition to the idea that the universe is governed by chance or fate. You know, the Big Bang theorists. You know, oh yeah, you know, we came from goobly goo. And the school system has lied to our children. You go into their classrooms and it shows a little tadpole, and then it shows a little tiny monkey, and then an ape, and then man. Now, I know we didn't come from monkeys. We may act like monkeys, but we didn't come from monkeys. Can I get an amen? Hey, those monkeys, how come they haven't evolved? They're still monkeys. That alone with common sense should destroy the atheistic doctrine. That's humanistic. And you know what? That comes from the enemy. That comes from the devil himself. If he could sow in a lie, then people will think that's the truth. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so now we look at the providence of God, his sovereignty. Now let's look right up here, the love of God. Aren't you so blessed that he loves us despite of ourselves? If he loves you for your good merits and your self-righteousness, forget about it. Guess what? We wouldn't achieve anything in his kingdom. This short question is among the most profound questions ever asked about his love toward us. And no human would ever be able to answer it sufficiently, saints. One thing is certain, though. However, God does not love us because we are lovable or because we deserve his love. We don't. If anything, the opposite is true. The state of mankind since the fall is one of rebellion and disobedience. Ever since Adam and Eve fell from grace, mankind, we're recipients of that. This is why we needed a Savior. This is why we needed to come to the cross. This is why Jesus came to rescue us. Can I get an amen? Because before the New Testament was written, the prophet Jeremiah understood this clearly. God had to give him divine revelation on the condition of you and I. And it says right up here in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God. So that lets me know I can't save myself. There's no system. There's no formula to say, well, you know, Lord, I can come to you anytime I want. No, there's no one looking for him. Were you looking for him before he saved you? Nobody was looking for him. Come on. I used to be witness to almost almost once a week on my job at Western Lumber. Even my brother would come and share. And man, I would just reject that. I said, man, get out of here with that. I don't believe none of that. Why? Because I was dead. I was dead. My spirit was dead. I was alive physically, but my spirit was dead. I couldn't hear. A dead man can't hear. A dead man can't speak. A dead man can't see. You know why God had to call us singly? Because it's laid out in John chapter 11. Remember when Lazarus died? That was one of his best friends. He waited purposely 4 days to make sure that he came on the fourth day, because on the fourth day, without any refrigeration, skin worms come in on the fourth day, and they come in to start helping the decay process. So they had him in the tomb, wrapped with the big, huge stone that they laid in front of the tomb. So Jesus came, and he came. He says, where do you lay him? He goes, Lord, he's in his tomb, but by now he stinketh by now. And so what did Jesus say? He says, take away the stone. And so when he walked into that stone, if he would have just said this, come forth, all the graves would have got up. But who did he call specifically? Lazarus. Come forth. You see, he had to come to you personally. Oh, yes. He had to say, Yolanda, come forth. He had to say, Beta, come forth. He had to say, Angel, come forth. He had to come to us individually and say, come forth. He's a personal Savior. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. God is so good, and he's worthy to be praised. Worthy, worthy is the King. Hallelujah. Saints, our innermost beings are so corrupted by sin that even when we don't realize the extent to which sin has tainted us, in our natural state, we do not seek God. I hope we don't. Naturally, we do not. We do not desire God. Clearly, in Romans indicates that, and I have always word to back this up. Let's go here. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There's none who does good, no, not one. That is so clear. That is the human state of mind when we come into this world. None of us are seeking God. Can I get an amen? He came seeking us. I'm so blessed he came seeking me. You know why? Because I would have never came to him. After all the people witnessed to me, I said, man, get out of here. Get out of here. How then, saints, is it possible for a holy, righteous, and perfect God to love such creatures like us? Huh? Saints, listen to this. To understand that we must understand something of the nature of the character of God, we always have to turn to the Word of God. Because the Word of God will answer to those questions that we have right up here. In 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for what? God is love. You have to understand that God is love. His whole being is love. And he created you in his love. He didn't create you in his anger. He created you in love. He made us perfect. Aren't you so blessed to know that you are perfect in his sight? Thank you, God. And look at 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Say that with me. God is love. One more time. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Oh, man, I'm so blessed to know that he's living in me, that the love of God is living in me, that we could proclaim him and not of ourselves. Saints, never was a more important declaration made than this, that God is love. This is a profound statement. Because the world cannot say that God is love. The unbeliever will say, well, why does God allow wars and why does God allow murder? They're clueless. They're clueless. They don't understand the love of God. they look at God with a humanistic point of view without any biblical reference. God is love. And it's a profound statement. God doesn't just love, he is love. His nature and essence are love. Love permeates his very being and infuses all his other attributes. Even, do you know that God even has wrath and anger, but not toward his children? Aren't you so blessed to know that we're not appointed unto wrath, but we're appointed unto salvation? Hallelujah. Man, when you go to bed at night, say, God, thank you. You have pulled me out of that category. I am no longer a child of wrath, but a child of promise. Hallelujah. So you have to come from wrath to promise. And when you get a hold of that, man, God is going to strengthen your walk with him. You know, people, when they hear this type of teaching, they think, well, man, you know, you can just go sin and do anything you want. No. This should free you to fully gravitate to him and draw closer to him and say, oh, God, you saved me from a horrible place. I was going to head to this fiery place of hell, and you pulled me out. You allowed me to escape the traps of the devil. Because he was the deceiver that came into the garden. Can I get an amen? Because God's very nature is love, he must demonstrate his love, just as he must demonstrate all of his attributes, saints, because doing so, it glorifies him. And so why does God love? It is because of who he is. Because God is love. And you and I understand this. This is why we need to bring this message to the unbeliever. They're walking in condemnation. They're walking in shame and guilt. They don't need to. You let them know that Jesus can free you. Hallelujah. And save you. And just cry out to him. And here's the key. After you witnessed, after you sowed your seed into their heart, when you walk away, you start praying, oh, Jesus, bless this person. Lord, many have watered, many have planted, but only you, God, can give the increase. Amen. And so, God, bring the increase to this person. Oh, God, save this soul. Save this person like you saved me, God. When you start praying for them like that, man, I'm telling you, now you're praying with the heart of God. Because God says, his desire is that none should perish, but all would come to repentance. Can I get an amen? So it's about having the heart of God. And when you have the heart of God, you'll understand this next point. It's the grace of God. Thank you, God. Grace is a constant theme throughout the whole entire Word of God, the Bible, and it culminates in the New Testament of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. We serve a gracious, wonderful God. How many believe that he's been gracious to you? And how many believe that what we deserve, he didn't give us? Did you know that we deserve punishment? Did you know we deserve a place, you know, of basically being obliterated, cast out? But he was gracious to us. Thank you, God. Look at the Word of God right up here. In John 1:17, for the law of Moses was given through what? The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, this is what I love about Jesus. You see, the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, some of us break them with either the sins of commission or the sins of omission. What do I mean? Some of our sins are deliberate. And then some of our sins are innocent. We didn't know that was a sin, and yet we sinned. So many of us break the Ten Commandments probably on a daily basis. Did you know that even if you lust after a woman, the Bible says, that you've already committed adultery in your heart? So that's like a trap. But this is what I love about Jesus. Jesus came and he saw the law that would condemn us. And so what did he do? He stepped down from being a judge, crossed over the line, and became our Savior. And then he showed us grace. Wow. Come on. We don't deserve this great salvation. Yet he stepped over and says, I'm going to show you my grace now. So he took off the robe of being a judge, and man, he put on the crown, being Lord and Savior to us. Man, that should be a hallelujah moment for you. That's what he did. He stepped down and says, I'm not going to judge them no more. I'm going to shed my blood for them. And I'm going to die for them. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? Saints, the word translated grace in the New Testament comes from the Greek word. Let's look at this. The Greek word charis, which means favor, blessing, or kindness. So when you see grace, that's how he sees you. And that's how he treats us with. He treats us with favor, blessing, and kindness. So when you see the grace of God, know what's behind that word grace. Because we see it in the English term. But this is the true Greek meaning. That God was good to us. He didn't have in mind to destroy you and I. He sought us out. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Saints, we can all extend grace to others. Can I get amen? But when the word grace is used in connection with God, it takes on a more powerful meaning. Grace is God choosing to bless us rather than to curse us for our sins. What? And we deserve to be cursed. But he chose not to. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Lord. It is his benevolence to the undeserving. We don't deserve this mighty grace, but yet he still gave it to us. Aren't you so blessed to know that even in our rottenness, he still chose to love you? He still chose to love me. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's why in the New Testament, you have to combine faith with grace. And did you know the faith that you and I have? It didn't come from within our own faith. He gave a measure of faith to all of us. He gave us the faith to turn to him. Without the faith, we would be walking around as total unbelieving. But look right here, the word of God in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. We don't deserve it, but he gave it to you as a gift. Hey, I want to give you this gift, and guess what? You can keep it. Thank you, Lord. And if someone gives you a gift, and a year later, you know what? That gift looks so good, I want it back. I could use that in my home. I don't know why I gave you that processor. I need it now. Can I get it back? No, God don't play like that with us. Look at this. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. You see, it's not what we do for him, it's what he has done for us. Can I get an amen? Because you could work and try to be a model saint. But as soon as a thought of lust enters in, as soon as a sinful way of thinking or doing, guess what? You nullified all that already. Aren't you so blessed that it's not about working? It's about God working through you. It's about God sanctifying you. It's about God raising you up. It's about God strengthening you for when you get tempted. Hallelujah. Because he knew that we would be tempted in the day we live in. Come on, we're tempted on our phones. We're tempted on our computers. We're tempted on television. We're tempted for all media, billboards. You can't even drive. And there's someone half-clad, naked, selling you either liquor or cigarettes. Man, it's everywhere now. And he knew that this day would come. And this is why, hallelujah, that we are to clothe ourselves with his righteousness. We need the Lord God to clothe our mind, to cleanse us, and to confess those things. Why? Because he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he closes off saying, lest anyone should boast. Man, we can't boast about it. Oh, man, I'm walking strong. I'm strong in the Lord. Take heed lest you fall. I've heard so many people, man, I'm strong in the Lord. Man, check that pride at the door. Walk in humility. Walk in the grace. Walk in the knowledge of God. There's nothing we have done but what he has done for us at the cross. Thank you, God. Saints, the only way any of us can enter into a relationship with God is because of his grace toward us. Grace began in the Garden of Eden. Did you know that? Guess what God had to do? This is what he had to do in the garden, right up here in Scripture. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord, God made tunics of skin and clothed them. You know why? They found out that they were naked and they were ashamed. It's okay. I'm not going to violate your conscience. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to cover your nakedness now. Aren't you so blessed that God has your back? Aren't you so blessed that God covers all your mistakes? Aren't you so blessed that no one puts on this screen all of your sins and shows them to everyone? Because if he did, I would probably be the first one out that door. I'd beat you to the door. He covers us with his grace. He covers us with the blood. He covers us. Say, yeah, I see your heaviness. I see what you're going through. I've seen your mistakes. But I'm going to cover you. God wants to cover us. He don't want to expose us. He wants to cover us. Why? Because he loves us. And those that are his, he takes good care of. I hope you know he's been good to you. He's been so good to you. He's been so good to me. And he wants to cover you in all aspects of your life, even when we fall short. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? There's not one sin that you cannot give him where he will reject you and then toss you in the lake of fire. What kind of daddy is that? I wish you would have heard all Billy Graham's children and the love they had for their daddy. But you know why they have the love of their daddy like that? It's because he showed them the love of the Father. They understood who their Father was in heaven. Billy Graham understood his Father in heaven. And so he demonstrated that same love to his natural children. This is where we step in now. And this is where God is saying, okay, you take the baton that was given to you. Now show this same love and grace to your children, to your friends and family. Love them. Love them even when you have to bring a word that cuts through the heart. It does. The word of God cuts. Do you know that? If people that you know that are flat out in rebellion of sin bring the love of God, tell them, hey, for God so loved the world, turn from your ways and God will save you. You plant that seed of hope and then allow God to do the rest. Because there's an old saying, you could bring a horse to the well, but you can't make them drink. Can I get an amen? How many have you preached to until you were blue in your face? So the effective way to pray for them, as I shared earlier, is you plant the word and then you walk away, you go into your prayer closet and say, God, save them, oh God. Oh God, give them a mind to be saved. Oh God, give them a heart of repentance. Oh God, draw them like you drew me, God. That's when you are effectively praying. You're praying specifically for them. You're not praying, oh God, slap them upside the head, wake them up. They need to know who you are. No, they already know who they are. You don't have to remind them of their dark sin. You got to let them know that Jesus loves you. He died for you. And that you don't have to live like that no more. And once you plant that seed of hope, it's all up to God now. You've done this. God, I did my part. Now I'm looking. You have to want that expectant heart to be demonstrated once again to draw them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Saints, he could have killed the first humans right then for their disobedience. Aren't you so blessed he didn't destroy the human race at that time? You and I wouldn't be here. He would have created some other weird kind of creature. Oh, but he didn't. He had us in mind, didn't he? Always remember, you know who you are. You know your name. He had you in mind in the garden. Man, that's the love of God. So rather than destroy them, he chose to make a way for them to be right with him. Man, that's the mind of God that you and I cannot comprehend just yet. God shows both mercy and grace, but they are not the same. Did you know grace and mercy are not the same? So we're going to look at our fourth topic. We're almost done. The mercy of God. Mercy. Look at what mercy withholds a punishment we deserve. Grace gives a blessing we don't deserve. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Mercy withholds a punishment we deserve. Grace gives a blessing that we don't deserve.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Thank you, God.
You got to get a hold of this. You got to get a hold of this. And there's teachings out there, man, I'm telling you, that are, I believe they're erroneous. And they, how many know who John MacArthur is? Mm-hmm. Wonderful Bible expository teacher. I saw this wonderful debate between Arminianism and the Reformed teaching. And man, he shredded that Arminian doctrine. You know what that Arminian doctrine teaches? Teaches that as a born-again child of God, who Ephesians says you are sealed until the day of redemption, says that you can lose your salvation. I said, what? And John MacArthur tore that, shredded it like it was Swiss cheese. That other person had no answers. So those folks are walking in fear. Looking, remember I taught the other week that there's people, they're still in the courtroom. They're still looking at God as their judge. No, he's saying, get out of that courtroom. Now walk in the family of God. You're mine now. Look at me as daddy now. Look at me as your father now. Hallelujah. He's already dealt with us at the cross. Now walk in grace. Walk, hallelujah, in the grace of God, in the mercy of God. Walk in his truth. Know that, hallelujah, that I'm his eternally. And it's not just saying a simple prayer. No, it's the simple prayer don't save you. It's your faith that God has given you. And when the Spirit of God comes in and you're born from above, he seals you at that moment as a child of God. Thank you, God. Come on, think about it. Are you here because you're religious, or are you here because you have a relationship with Jesus? Amen. That's what it's all about. Because the Word of God always will have an answer to questions. Look at this. Right up here in Titus 3 and 5, not by works of righteousness that you have done. So that obliterates right there. Well, I'm not going to sin today. I'm going to have great thoughts today. Oh, man, you know, I'm not going to even look. Well, you might as well, you know what, blind your eyes and cut out your ears, because we live in a world that's dark. So the Word of God says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy, he saved us. Come on. Through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. This is for the true believer that's been born from above. And now you are sealed until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. You, man, you got to be solid in your faith. You got to give an answer to every man, hallelujah, who will contest your faith. Can I get an amen? And if someone tries to contest and give you a conviction of what they believe in without any scriptural base, you got to refute it. You got to refute it. You got to have God's word to back up. Can I get an amen? This right here tells you right here, it was his mercy that saved us. Jesus. mercy. And we just read, mercy withholds a punishment we deserve. Oh, thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? Aren't you so blessed that it is His great salvation and not ours? But He has included us in. Man, I'm telling you, when you get a hold of this, man, you will love Him even more closer. You will understand now that He's so merciful and gracious to us. Oh, yes, look at this next verse of Scripture says right up here. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for what? For us. For us. He had to take our place. He was our substitute. He's the one that says, Father, I got them covered under my blood. Look at this. That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It was an act of mercy. It was an act of grace. And many of us have fallen into that trap. The first church I went to, man, all they kept preaching almost every week, man, as soon as you sin, you're dropped into hell. They were teaching the Arminian doctrine, meaning that you can just be cast aside, that He will remember you no more. And so here's the question. If God saved you, you've been born of God, and He's living in you, and you have a wonderful relationship. You hear His voice. When you're in His presence, man, the Spirit of God rises up within your soul, and you know you're in His, you know you're a child of God. And then the Arminians will use this. They'll use the verse in Matthew. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this in your name? Haven't we prophesied? Haven't we cast out devils in your name? And then He will say to them, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Now get a hold of this. The point I'm trying to make. Who's He talking to? Is He talking to us? He's talking to the unbeliever. You know why? Because the Bible says God is not like a man that could lie. So if you're standing face to face and He says, I never knew you, He'd be lying to your face. And to many others, He would lie, say, I never knew you. But man, by the grace of God, we are His. Can I get an amen? He will never tell us, I never knew you. Amen. Look, how many of you have precious sons? And I don't care what sin they committed. Are you going to disown them? How much more the love of God that's greater than our love, that will love us all the way to the end? Come on, think about that. Think about that for a moment. Will you cast, if your son had to be incarcerated for 25 years, are you going to disown him? But yet we all deserve hell. And He came and scooped us up and saved us. And He has clothed us now with His righteousness. You got to be careful, man, on what kind of doctrine you're listening to. Because those doctrines that say, well, you know, you could fall from grace. You know what? I'm going to do an in-depth study in the book of Hebrews because they use chapter 6 a lot. And they don't understand chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 on God's grace, on His predestination, on His calling. He's talking about those who were religious and they were around the hallelujah. They were around, yeah, yeah. And then they fall away from that truth. That's who He's talking to. He's not talking about a true child of God. How many believe that you are the children of the Most High God? Come on. That God has He has secured you in His beloved. He says, all that the Father gives me, I won't lose one. He won't lose you. Yeah, do we fall short? Yes. Do we sin sometimes? Yes. But that doesn't nullify us as His child. As I shared last week, a lot of times if we get wayward, He has to give us that little board of education to the seat of our understanding. Oh, yes. I've been to the whooping shed a couple of times. Don't like it there. I'm crying out, Abba, Father, oh, Daddy, oh, God. And then He restores me. He reconciles me. Hallelujah. And so in the natural, parents, there's time you have to. You have to bring. You have to bring that chastisement. Why? Because you love your child. You love them. You don't want them to walk in errors. You don't want them to walk like the world. You want them to focus your heart on Christ and being obedient at home. And then you restore them after you've given them chastisement. You reconcile them back to you so they understand why you had to bring the chastisement. That's what God does. He speaks to you. He tells you, this is why I had to. Because I love you. But we looked up that word last week. If you have a sinful life outside of these four walls and you do not adhere to the things of God, don't want nothing to do with God, but are coming religiously. I'm not talking Amazing Grace. I'm talking about churches around the world. Then you have to ask yourself, am I really born again? Because the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. Not that we are to judge. No, we're not supposed to judge. But guess what? I know when a brother or sister that loves God. You know why? Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. And they're going through some tough times, and yet they're still glorifying God. Hallelujah. They're still witnessing. They're still sharing their faith. Hallelujah. They're still plowing through. Hallelujah. They're still saying, God, I love you. Despite of myself, I still love you. You got to come to that place with God. You got to make sure that God, I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Because in his mercy, what does he do? He reconciles us back to the Father. Look at this right up here. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, he shall be saved by his life. Thank you, God. It is Jesus' life that saves us and reconciles us back to the Father. We were enemies. We were enemies. We were enemies in our mind, our heart, our attitude, our theology. We were enemies of the cross. I know I was. See, I'm so blessed that my wife, Yolanda, she never saw my BC years. Never saw them. She never heard me with the potty mouth. She never saw me chuggling it down. She never saw me go hooping it up. She never saw that. I'm so blessed. But my brother saw all that. And he can testify, it's but the grace of God that saved that boy. Because he had such a hard head for 30 years. I was a knucklehead. You know how Paul says, I'm a chief of all sinners? Man, you could put me right in that group. Thank you, God. I was the enemy to the cross. And yet, by his grace and his mercy, he has reconciled me back to the Father. And now I can say, Abba, Father, thank you, God. And now I can look back at my foolish ways and say, oh God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you. Because one of the things and one of his greatest attributes is that he forgives us. Yes, he does. God's word says right up here. Look at this. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember what? No more. So stop condemning yourself. Walk in his grace. Walk in his mercy. If he doesn't remember your sins no more, then why should you fall into that trap that I'm so unworthy? Yeah, we all know we're unworthy, but we also know that it's his grace that has saved us from a pit of hell. And now we can walk in the fullness of Christ. Aren't you so blessed to know that he's not up there with a big old giant bat waiting to bop you on the head? Some of us have that perception. Oh, here comes the bat. No, come on, saints. You see, if it wasn't for the blood, if it wasn't for what he did on the cross, we would still be in our unbelieving state. But how many of us took communion today? And why did we take communion? Because we're remembering what he did at the cross, because of the blood that he shed is right up here in the Word of God. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Look at that. We've been redeemed. We've been called out of darkness. We are no longer in that state of an unbeliever. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches. Listen, I'm so blessed that I don't have deep pockets like God. My pocket only goes to here. He's got endless riches. Riches beyond our comprehension. Any of you ever lived in a $40 million home in Rancho Santa Fe? Have you ever seen one of those homes in a magazine? As a realtor, I've been on a tour. We went through those neighborhoods. We had to have clearance to go through there. $40, $50 million homes. 25 square feet. 25,000 square feet. I'm talking, they had swimming pools from the outside going into the living room. They had horse stables. They had tennis courts, basketball courts. They have saunas and all that. 80-inch TVs in the toilet. They had all the amenities. And yet, that pales comparison to the riches that God has for you and I. Because that same house will still need termite treatment in a year. The plumbing will break down. The roof will get old. You have to change that roof. It'll still somehow be corrupted. But not God's grace. He will preserve us. Hallelujah. He's the one that restored us. He's the one that has riches beyond our comprehension through his grace. Man, you got to understand God's grace. Can I get an amen? It's his grace. His grace. Thank you, God. Because he reconciles us. We're going to go through some of these scriptures quickly now for time's sake. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. We have peace with God now. You're not an enemy no more. He's your Father, so cry out, Abba. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because he's the one that gives us abundant life right up here. In John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan has done the majority of our life until we got saved. He wanted to destroy you. He wanted to kill you. And guess what? He's still trying to chase after you. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. How many of you can honestly say you're walking in the abundance of God's love? Man, thank you, God. Because he gives us eternal treasure. Eternal treasure. Oh, yes, it's right up here. Look at this. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's an eternal gift. Thank you, God. How many are so blessed to be filled with his Spirit? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's the greatest gift. And so we're going to close with our fifth point right up here, the will of God. The will of God. Saints, God's will is knowable and provable. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Look at Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and the what perfect what? Will of God. Thank you, God. He has a will laid out for us. We're joint heirs with him. Aren't you so blessed that he left you in his will? Man, you never know. One day, someone may knock your door and say, you know what, such and such and so, who was on your family tree, left you in their will. and there's a check for $400,000. What? Wouldn't that blow you away? What? You'd be doing one of these. Well, guess what? The will that he has for us is eternal life. We're written in the will. The Bible says when we gave our hearts to Christ, he wrote us in the book of life. Aren't you so blessed he wrote your name in the book of life? That's his will. That's his document in heaven. Thank you, God. Saints, this passage gives us an important sequence. The child of God refuses to be conformed to the world, instead allows himself to be transformed by the Spirit of God. As his mind is renewed according to the things of God, then he can know God's perfect will. You know it through, it's mapped out. It's all mapped out for us. Knowing God's will is sometimes difficult because it requires patience. I need you to hear this. Just because you get saved today doesn't make you a super saint the next day. No, there's a process, isn't there? There's a process. It's natural to want to know all of God's will at once, but that's not how he usually works. He reveals to us step and step at a time, and he moves us from faith to faith and glory to glory. So what you are learning today, maybe you didn't know about this 10 years ago in your walk. And now God has gradually brought you to a place of more intimacy with him through his word. Oh, yes. Because let's just say you're a brand new Christian today. Okay? And you're finding out things. What makes God glorified and magnified in your life? So here's how you start. This is the word of God to start at this point now. For those of you who are walking in the will of God and understand, praise the Lord. Someone that's struggling in the will of God, you can start today. It's right here in James. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it is sin to him. So, just start walking in what God wants in your life and lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you and praise toward the prize and call and the call in Christ Jesus. It's very simple. You just start learning to grow in the grace. Start loving the Lord. Start being in worship and praise. Study your word. Get involved in youth groups. Get involved in home Bible studies. Get involved in home fellowships. And start growing. Grow. Go further in your walk with him. Amen? And so one of the things about his will, and we close with this scripture. I believe we close with this scripture. Yes, we do. We close with this scripture. Is, did you know that even after you prayed, even after you even fasted, and you're leaning toward a decision, and then God says, don't go there. I got something better over here. Or you didn't pray and you didn't fast and you were working out decisions with emotional state of mind and you didn't go to him. But being a child of God, he will still somehow interject in your life. So that you don't fall into that ditch. You don't fall out of the will of God. And where do we find this in Scripture? Right up here. Look at this. It's in Acts. Let's go back. We had it right there. Now, when they had gone through, this is the disciples, Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by what? The Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. If God said, hey, you know what? Don't go into that. If you're on a diet, don't go into the donut shop and buy a Diet Coke. You're going to be so tempted. Man, that's Man, look at that chocolate eclair. Man. Look at. But you're in there because you came there to buy a Diet Coke. Do you know that God will still get you? He'll still save your bacon and get you out of there. No, my diets are yo-yos, man. I've tried every diet you could think of. I was saying, God, I need that new body now. You know what? We find out when we're trapped in this body of flesh. And it doesn't want to do what it's supposed to do. And we try so hard. Oh, God, I'm going to be on this fad diet. Oh, God, I'm going to be on this one here. Oh, God, I'm going to have the surgery done. Oh, God, I'm going to do this, God. And I'm going to do that, God. And we're good for a while. And then I get invited to one of your birthday parties. And there's tables and tables of food. And there's nothing wrong with that. But for me, there's some certain things I can't eat. My blood sugar will just fly off the chart. And then I'm feeling, oh, man, I'm feeling so, wow. But there's no one to blame. I did it to myself. But when you hear God's word and God is saying, don't go there, don't do that. He's got your back. He's got your best interest. And you need to listen to his voice. And you need to understand the word of God. So when you get tempted, he is greater than your temptation. You just got to turn to him. Can I get an amen? Turn to him. Turn to him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. So in closing, saints, if we are walking closely with the Lord and truly desiring his will for our lives, God will place his desires in our hearts. The key is wanting God's will, not our own. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look at this right up here, and then we're going to worship the King. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So delight in him. So, Lord, I love you. I praise you. And guess what? Those things that are needed in life, that are in his will, he will bless you abundantly because it's part of his will. Oh, yes. But if you want to own that house in Rancho Santa Fe, we'd be bankrupt the next day. That's not his will for us. His way and his will is far exceeds us. Can I get an amen? I'm going to ask everyone to stand. How many of you every now and then love to hear a good gospel song? You know, Brother Joshua, who couldn't be here to lead us in this last song, I said, don't worry. I got this one song that I found. I go, man, it's the kind of just get your foot tapping, get your foot moving. But let me close out in prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. We thank you for the saints of God. We thank you, Lord, for the providence of God in their lives. We thank you, Lord, what you're doing mightily in their lives. We thank you, Lord, that we are all now the children of God. Lord, you have called us. You have sought us out. You're the one that blessed us. You're the one that gave us a mind to be saved. You're the one that gave us a heart of repentance. You're the one that went searching throughout, and you found us because we weren't looking for you. And you have blessed us mightily. And so I'm praying for the one that maybe, just maybe, has never surrendered their heart to Christ. And maybe God right now is tapping on your heart. Listen, I need to make something clear. It's not the simple prayer that saves you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. Let the Spirit of God, let the grace of God and the mercy of God fill your heart. And let him soak your total being with his presence right now. So prayer is a tool that God gives to us here on this earth to communicate with the holy God. So just pray this simple prayer, but in faith, believing, knowing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. So pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And let the church say amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Give them praise and glory in the house of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.